So we are continuing our series of broadcasts from Teastic Media Studio in Chiang Mai, Thailand. And we are continuing our talk with our guest, Mahayogi Maharaj. After our recent broadcast, Aranga Devi left a comment that I would like to start this program with. So she's saying, "We were there when all the books were published. And it was the most charismatic time in our lives. Every day, new realizations were coming like a lightning bolt, making this an exciting part of our transcendental adventure. Bhakti Sudhir Goswami was very protective of his tapes, but we had an insider connection, a mole, Bhakta Priya, who gave us all the tapes and copies of unpublished manuscripts, and behind the scenes we were devouring GM is Guru Maharaj. Words with insatiable hunger and transcribing his lectures. At one point we were going to buy a house next to the temple, and Mahayogi Maharaj said, 'You can always buy a house, but now is the chance to see Guru Maharaj.' We packed our bags and went to Navadvip Dam. Let it be said, it took us another 25 years to buy a house. If there is another wave coming like this, then our bags are packed and surfboards are ready, and we are going to whatever it's going to roll in. Postscriptum. Incidentally, just 5 minutes after I listened to Mahayogi Maharaj, I listened to a class of Guru Maharaj. Someone joined the meeting and Guru Maharaj was asking who it is. Mukundamala, he replied. It's Mahayogi's Maharaj, previous name. Guru Maharaj went on to explain that the meaning of Mukunda is he who can give something that makes liberation look awkward. 23rd minute in the recording. Postscriptum 2. In regards to recent events, we were first just totally thrilled to see the air getting cleared with Bhakti Sudhir Goswami stating the obvious. But in addition to that, on the positive side, it feels like there is a breath of fresh air coming, much like the one we experienced before. Postscriptum 3. Bhakti Sudhir Goswami and Mahayogi Maharaj were a truly formidable team with Bhakti Sudhir Goswami in the lead. I love seeing Mahayogi Maharaj in Chiang Mai and pray for others' wave that lift us up like the one before."
Well, that's high praise. I'm sorry if you lost out on your house, but you gained something by seeing His Divine Grace Bhakti Rakshak Sridhardev Goswami Maharaj. And I'm very happy to hear from you across the distance of so many years and to know that you're still out there. So I'd like to take the opportunity to thank all the friends and followers who are taking a few minutes to check out our broadcast here. We're broadcasting live from Chiang Mai without any commercial interruption. And as you can imagine, there's a lot of pressure. I'm trying to say something useful for the devotees. This morning, Gopakishore and I were in a garden discussing Uddhava and Nanda Maharaj and Vrindavan. But before we began to talk, I was looking into the waters of the pond there and watching the sun ripple off it. And I began to pray to Guru Maharaj to help me say something. And I'm very happy if anything that comes out of my mouth is edifying or useful to any devotees. And then again, when I was at the temple in the afternoon, I looked at the photo of Govinda Maharaj, and Sridhar Maharaj. And I asked him for some help. I said, "Listen, I need some help here. for me to say something valuable or useful or to be able to follow in your footsteps. So, you know, please give me something. And it would be nice if the devotees here could ask me some questions, because otherwise I'm just speaking at random. So if Gopika Kishore, if you have something prepared, otherwise, you know, I'd like to hear something from the other devotees too.
Yeah, I've just recently heard that your previous name, Mukundamala, and I've heard the other day you were telling about your history, because like for 10 years you were working with Bhakti Sudhir Goswami Maharaj, and previously you were in the Krishna Consciousness Movement, ISKCON. So maybe you can share some things with your early history.
All right. It's interesting that Sridhar Maharaj, and when I say Sridhar Maharaj, I feel almost disrespectful. You know, that's shorthand for, you know, His Divine Grace, Bhagavan, Bhakti Rakshak Sridhar Dev Goswami Maharaj. But it's hard to put that in every sentence. So it's interesting that when I got the name from Prabhupada, it was Mukundamala. And there's a book called the Mukundamala Stotram, The Glories of Krishna. But if you ask the devotees, what does it mean, Mukunda? They'll say the giver of liberation. But Sridhar Maharaj, he had a different take. He said, no, this means the giver of something that makes liberation look poor. So he was always he never deviated from that plane. Every time he looked at anything in the Bhagavatam, the Bhagavad Gita, it didn't matter what it was, he always came exactly from the same place and could give an interpretation worthy of his erudition. Yes, I was with ISKCON until around 1982 or so, and the last time we talked, I was discussing how we began setting up our mission in San Jose, California. So at the beginning, it was Brahmadas who understood about finances and making collections and that kind of thing, who worked out enough money to where we could make a down payment on the temple. The temple in San Jose, California was about $176,000. And to buy that, we had to make a down payment of 10%. Brahmadas put together $8,000. So we were short, but at the moment that we went to pay, they told us, we're in the middle of something right now. We're negotiating a deal. We can only accept half the money, half the down payment, which came to about $8,000. So we felt that this was the will of Krishna. And at that time, it was me, there was Goswami Maharaj, Vidagda Madhava, Yudhamanyu, who brought with him Prabala and Jivana, and Bhaktapriya. And they all helped with the fundraising and things like that. We had, there was Ramai, who was the pujari, always up every morning at 5 o'clock, ready to do the necessary. Kshamabuddhi was our cook. If I can just take a look at this fine publication published by Ananta Printing and Publishing. This is The Loving Search for the Lost Servant, which was our next book after Golden Volcano of Divine Love. And as I was looking through this today, I was just astonished, really astonished, because the search for Sri Krishna, if you like, you could say it gives basic ideas about Krishna consciousness. Just, they're not really basic, but what you find there is a summary, and it deals with the opposition. But The Loving Search for the Lost Servant, it doesn't really get into the opposition so much. This is just pure nectar, for lack of a better word, from the beginning to the end. It's just more and more concentrated, more and more sweetness, more and more divine. This is Bhakti Rakshak Sridhar Dev Goswami Maharaj at the top of his game.
And also while I was...
also the guardian of devotion press and Bhakti Sudhir Goswami Maharaj at the top of his game. So you can see the layout, the way the pictures are done, the way the pictures follow the text. It's an integral book, which is such a great work of art that I was looking at it today and I couldn't believe that we were so blessed that we had the opportunity to participate in something like that. I'm sorry.
The other day you was telling me that the Goswami Maharaj benefit to the book was like the graphics was all his
yes, apart from understanding how to put together the conception in a sort of escalating style where you start with a general idea that not only are we looking for Krishna, but he's also looking for us. Goswami Maharaj helped, you know, and define the concept of the book so that you're ending with the highest conception about service to Radharani and very concentrated information. But every aspect of the presentation of the book, which helps you read it, was also designed personally by him. So, for example, there's some old paintings, photos of sculptures, and especially this particular painting was commissioned by Goswami Maharaj. We found an artist in Calcutta who did this kind of style, and Goswami Maharaj told him what he wanted. You know, this is representing one of the Gopal boys in Vrindavan who gets lost and he comes back and Krishna says, "Oh, where did you go? I was looking for you." And in the beginning of the book, Sridhar Maharaj explains that just as you're looking for God, God is also looking for you. And of course, in Christianity, we also have that kind of concept, but Chaitanya Mahaprabhu takes it to a higher plane. Anyways, I'm sorry, you might have a question. We'll be talking about preaching. Okay, so
since we jumped, I wanted to
read the names of some of the devotees. I'm sorry, as I said, this is a live broadcast, so, you know, bear with me. It's not easy to just do this cold. So, you know, in the book, it also mentions Shrutashrava Prabhu. And Shrutashrava, he knew Sanskrit. I'm sure he still knows Sanskrit. He's out there somewhere. So if you're listening, Shruta, or does anybody know him, say hello.
He disappeared.
I don't. At this point, I'm being open and trying to remember something that took place in the past. And, you know, if anybody's offended by my speaking well of somebody, there's nothing I could do about that. I decided before I came on, I don't want to say anything bad about anybody or be critical in any way. So just as I disappeared for a long time, I took the wrong path. You know, in the eternal course of the soul, if you're deviated for 5 years or 5,000 years, what is that compared to eternity? If I have to be reborn 1,000 times to get to see Sridhar Maharaj again, it's worth it to me. So not that I'm going to tempt fate by doing something that I shouldn't do, but we can look at it like that as well. It's not good to demonize our former friends because one day they may demonize us. So I left the community of devotees, and you know, I wanted to save that talk towards the end, but it goes with the loving search. I left the community of devotees in part because our community wasn't as stable as a good devotional community should be. And part of that had to do with the disappearance of Sridhar Maharaj, because we were based on his teachings. And things happened that I was unable to control. And perhaps as a consequence of pride, anger, lust, envy, greed, you know, all these things, I became unqualified to continue enjoying the association of devotees, and that's something that I pay for. But I'm very happy to know that Krishna is actively looking for us. You know the story, and I was going to save this for our next and last broadcast about how I came to Thailand, and I'll get into that later, but I just want to thank the people who were mentioned here. There was Maturanath, Vidugdha Madhava, Sarva Bhavana, Sulochan, Kali Yuga Pavana, Bhaktapriya Dasi, Ananga Manjari, who sent us a note the other day, Jayananda Prabhu, who worked really hard to keep the temple going, Yudhamanyu, Jivana was Yudhamanyu's wife. I don't know if she's still around or what she's doing, but she's a really, truly great soul and always a positive source of Krishna consciousness for me, a positive source of inspiration. This is a very fine production produced by the happy people in Ananta Printing and Publishing down in Rodeo Gulch Road in SoCal, California. So the people who are still with what was the San Jose Temple are, I think, involved in the production of that book. But anyway, I was given sannyas by Sridhar Maharaj, and my reason for taking sannyas was I felt that I understand how to preach this. Okay, it needs to be preached. If I don't do it, I don't know who will. I met lots of people who I thought they understand this a little bit, but I was on fire, and so I used all the fire that I had to try to make little fires in other places. There's a story in Greek mythology of one of the original Titans, Prometheus. I don't know if you know this story, mm-hmm. but his business is to deal with the human class. So after all the animals have been given their gifts by the gods, the Greek gods in this case, for example, the elephant has strength and the tiger is powerful and has big teeth. There was nothing left to give the human being. Because if you walk around naked in the jungle, you're very vulnerable as a human being. So Prometheus thought, what can I give them? And he went to the heavens and he stole fire from the gods and he gave it to the humans. And he thought, do something with this. This will help you. But the gods were angry with Prometheus and they punished him by chaining him to a rock where a vulture picked out his entrails. So I wasn't exactly chained to a rock, but I did my best to spread the fire, okay? And at some point in time, devotees sometimes burn out, okay? And in my case, I suffered from a pretty bad case of burnout. But before I got there, I was preaching, I was spreading the fire. I went to Stockholm and worked with devotees there, with Narayan Maharaj, who's no longer with us. And also worked in Austria and Vienna and in Hungary in Szeged with the devotees there. Kirtanam Sepanam. Sounds to me like Kirtanam Sevanam. So that means something like hello or thank you. I forget. Hajuwaj. That's like hello, yeah? And that was the first time I saw a sleigh crisscrossing in the snow in cobblestone streets. And the devotees in Hungary were really enthusiastic and they did that kind of a Russian dance. It was brilliant. I preached in South Africa. I preached in Australia. That was later. Govinda Maharaj sent me to Australia. He said, try to do something there. I was in Australia for about 2 months and I went from Brisbane to Surfers Paradise, the Gold Coast, Morwillimba, and did a lot of preaching there, but it wasn't my time, perhaps, you know. At that particular point in time, the person that they needed wasn't me, you know. Later, I preached in Colombia, Ecuador, all over the world. It's hard for me to remember all the places that I went and all the devotees that I met and all the kirtans that we had. So,
as you said the other broadcast, sometimes you write a book that you will need to read
That's right. So I'm reading The Loving Search for the Lost Servant, I'm just knocked out. The Search for Sri Krishna, it's pretty good. But The Loving Search for the Lost Servant, it stands alone, parallel to the Chaitanya Charitamrita. It stands parallel to above the Bhagavatam, you know? It stands above the Bhagavad Gita. And that's not my accomplishment. That's the accomplishment of the preceptor of Govinda Maharaj.
And to give some regards to the publishers?
No, it's impossible. Yeah. It's impossible. You can't summarize it. You can't. I tried to summarize the Search for Sri Krishna, right? Because you can say, okay, fossilism, mind over matter, you know? Six philosophies of India, Buddha preaches zero, you know? Shankar preaches the infinite. What's the difference between the infinite and the zero? Zero times zero? Zero. Zero minus zero? Zero. Infinite times infinite? Infinite. Well, on some level, zero and infinite, they run along parallel lines. So the teachings of Buddha and Shankar, that kind of thing is easy to represent in a nutshell. But The Loving Search for the Lost Servant, I can't touch it. I can't possibly give you a summary. You have to read it, you know? I'd like to read a little bit of it, but I would like questions if there are any.
Actually, we've got something on the live stream, so we'll try to read it. Dear viewers, it will take a second. Or two. Meanwhile, I'm searching for the question. So can you tell about, like, you were preaching so hard, so long, it's like the known slogan, join Hare Krishna movement and you will see the world?
That's right, yeah. It was join the Hare Krishna movement and see the world. We have an example of that in this room. We've got Russia, Hungary, Brazil, Mexico, the United States, New York, you know, which is its own country, I guess. yeah, do you have any questions from any of the devotees here? Because I'd really like to see if I could satisfy any doubts that anybody here has.
Can I ask if you, like, you were preaching for so long, so what's your reflection about, like, how do you preach and all the consequences we, like, try to see, this is nice, this is good, this must be doing, this not.
Okay, yeah.
About like preaching style, so many things, I think people are trying after disappearance of like the big gurus of this world, like the three big gurus, what was the actions of people?
Well, preaching is a dangerous business, okay? Because in the first place, you should practice what you preach. So if you can't practice it, don't preach it. So right now my practice is not so good. It's very difficult for me to really preach on the same level that I had before. Because if you live, sleep, eat, and breathe Krishna and Krishna consciousness, of course, you're more inspiring to others. The big pitfall is pride, of course. pride often cometh before a fall. Pratishta, Kanaka Kamini Pratishta Bhagini. These are the witches that inhabit us, haunt us, you know, pride. So the problem is, there's a thing called Acharya Abhiman, which means the pride of the teacher, or the ego of the teacher. Just like I have enough ego that I can sit up here and talk to you, you know, and you can think, who does he think he is? But who I think I am is somebody who has been exposed to the message of Sridhar Maharaj, and I think it needs to be spread, and other people need to contemplate it. So I'm trying to promote that. But if a teacher thinks, I know more than you do, you should be quiet and I'm going to teach you. This is very bad because it inhibits the student. Students don't like that. They prefer to participate actively. So if you're preaching and you become proud of yourself, that's a very dangerous thing because later on you'll fall. That's guaranteed.
Yes. So in this mood, we have a question from our viewer, Kamala, that you must remember. And she's writing, Dandavas Maharaj, you were talking about these wonderful books. Obviously, they have a tangible and substantial nature. How do you see the challenge and opportunities of publishing online, which is something intangible and fleeting?
Very nice question. Very eloquent. You can see Kamala is very well spoken. I haven't seen her. I think of her as a young woman of about 22 or 23, you know, but I'm sure she's different today. Anyway, Hare Krishna, Kamala. There's certain challenges and problems with publishing online. I think publishing online is great because you get your message out to more people. Recently, I downloaded all of Guru Maharaj's books for my Nook reader so I can study them. On the other hand, a production like this is art. So it's hard to approach art in an electronic media. But having said that, I'm sitting here in a studio and our message is going out over the internet to people in Brazil, China, Mexico, the United States, London, and touching people. So I think it's very important to understand how to put our message in a digital form. So much so that actually our production here is called Full Dome Studios. And some of the Russian devotees who are taping this are involved in creating multimedia presentations. So I'm happy if they will be able to engage me in the future in writing and creating content for this medium.
Goswami Maharaj is already doing this, as we see. It's a publishing.
Goswami Maharaj is a very powerful preacher, and he's smart. So he knows I'm a very proud person. Who can preach to me? Right? But if you put a camera in front of me and I have to preach to all these people, I'm really preaching to me also. So, but this is by his grace and by the grace of Sridhar Maharaj, Govinda Maharaj, and his representatives.
And talking about preaching, do you really think like this, there is a time to do something or not the time to do something? Because it said like when spiritual flow want to come, it's like beyond time and space. So maybe
well, that's a good point. Yeah.
Maybe there are some other reasons you see for like the preaching to come up and come down beyond the simple explanation like offenses, just like brief explanation.
Well, that's a very that's a better question. Now you're getting at something. See. Well, Krishna's message is eternal, okay? But sometimes people can hear it and sometimes they can't. You know, it's always there. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu the kirtan movement. It's always there. But look, even in Bengal, it's come and gone. Even in Bengal, there were waves, very powerful waves. Narottam Das Thakur, Srinivas Thakur, Shamananda Das Thakur organized huge kirtan parties and swept Bengal with the message and created a new form of poetry. And we sing their songs today. But the tide receded for some reason. I don't know why. It's hard for me to explain. Perhaps it has something to do with the quality of the preachers as well. Sridhar Maharaj was a very high quality preacher. So was, you know, Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, Srila Prabhupada, Govinda Maharaj. The Western devotees, you know, we're trying. We're trying. To a certain degree, I joined at a very early age, and I was very green. And I'm telling everybody something that I learned from a book and something that I heard from a man. But did I really internalize that? You know, did I really learn that? You know, perhaps I was speaking more out of pride in my own case, you know. So sometimes the ground is very well prepared, and if you throw the seed, you can just take a bag of seeds and throw it in the air, and suddenly you'll have a beautiful garden. And sometimes the ground is not so well prepared, and even if you try and cultivate it, it's hard to grow something. I don't know.
So talking, I'd like to ask another question. In your, like, during your life and a big preaching and spiritual life experience, you've seen that organizations come and go, you come and go from these organizations or the teachers that come. So in The Last Servant, the one thing is that we are searching for the Lord, but the other thing that He is also searching for us. So how do you feel, what's the important thing in being searched, because obviously not for everyone he's searching that eager, maybe.
I don't know if I really follow what you're saying. What's the importance of being searched?
Yeah, like what's your feelings about this? Because organizations come and go, like, they can be very, like, spiritual at the moment, then it can fade. You can be in spiritual organization, then you can be disconnected from the teacher or from the Vaishnava, like, society. But what? How do you, like, at some moment, you got here back after, like, 10, 20 years.
20 years.
Yeah.
Well, I don't want to say, of course it's popular to say, oh, I was in the darkness. It was dark, okay? In the sense that Sridhar Maharaj and Prabhupada were like the sun and the moon. And, you know, you can assign sun to one and moon to the other according to your point of view. But the sun and the moon give off plenty of light. And if Govinda Maharaj was the brightest star in the heavens after the sun and the moon, and Goswami was another bright star, for me, all these stars in the firmament disappeared. They weren't giving me any more light. Govinda Maharaj, because he's so far away in India, I had no way of communicating with him personally, you know. I suppose I could have called him on the phone or put the money together to, you know. I don't want to make excuses. But Sridhar Maharaj was gone. Prabhupada was gone. For me, and the devotees who were helping us, for one reason or another, and I can't really get into all the personal stuff, you know, but for one reason or another, our devotional community kind of dissolved. And it's a great tragedy when something like that happens. So as far as darkness, yes, I wandered as a blind man for many years. But as a man, I learned how to be a better teacher. I learned how to be a good husband. I learned how to play the ukulele and speak Spanish, you know? So you can write a book, you know, Mahayogi, The Lost Years. I don't think anybody will read it, you know? But how do I feel about being searched? It's a very strange experience because for all that I really knew, it seemed to me that our devotional community in California was really not what it used to be. And I'm not saying that to offend anybody, but I just personally didn't have the same degree of light on one level. On another level, out of pride, you know, if you come up to a certain standard of leadership and people expect that from you, and then you can't give that, it's a difficult thing. So there's pride there as well. So I spent time, you know, teaching English and being a university professor in Mexico, in San Miguel de Allende. I met Avadhut Maharaj's brother today. We were washing dishes in the kitchen, and a face appeared in the window, talking to my wife, Aurora, and said something like, "You're from Mexico? Oh, good guacamole." That was it. "Hey, that was good guacamole. You're from Mexico?" And she said something, "¿Cómo estás?" And they had a little conversation, a little back and forth in Spanish. And I looked at Avadhut Maharaj's brother. I don't know his name.
And, Satya Sundar.
And I said, "Oh, you've been to San Miguel? Do I know you?" You know? So there's another kind of a lost opportunity. We could have crossed paths, right? So Krishna's always out there. Krishna's real, okay? You know, he's real. He's out there. He's looking for you. You may not know it yet, but he's looking for you. So one day I put a ukulele video innocently on YouTube, and I discovered that Goswami Maharaj, he told me, "I look for you on Google, and you can search my name. It's Michael Dolan. You can look for it on Google." You find a lot of Michael Dolans. It's a common name in Ireland. Not that common, but there's at least, you know, I don't know, 100,000 Michael Dolans out there somewhere. You know? And so he couldn't find me. But he looked for me on YouTube, and he found my Captain Panic video where I'm playing Somewhere Beyond the Sea. And he liked that because it reminded him of, "Oh, you sons of nectar, sons of the nectarine ocean sea, listen to me," you know, where Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, I think it is calling his devotees. And he wrote me a note saying, "I like your beyond the sea conception." And I saw that and I thought, what? Is that Goswami Maharaj after all these years? My goodness. And when I finally answered his message, he said, "Look, I have this thing in Thailand and it's in Chiang Mai, it's a small community. Would you be interested in coming to visit?" And I looked at that and I thought, oh no. If I say yes, it's going to change my life. I told Aurora, I said, "Listen, I got some interesting news for you." "Yeah, what's that?" "It's going to change your life." "Are you all right? Mm-hmm. Do you have to go to the hospital?" "It's not that, you know. We're going to Thailand." "We are?" "Well, what about me?" "Well, I'm asking your permission. Can we go to Thailand?" And "Sure, let's do it." So I immediately wrote Goswami back, "I'm in, let's do it." And, you know, we're both Irish, which means we like a good fight. The Irish like to fight. So if he says, "Come on," then I'll say, "Okay, come on, bring it." In a way, our creative relationship is a little bit like, you know, and he always says, comparisons are odious, you know. It's a little like Paul McCartney and John Lennon, right? Their relationship was very scrappy, and Lennon would have something, and McCartney would say, "I don't know, you really think we can do that?" And so John Lennon would try to do something better, and then McCartney would try to top him. So in a way, the production of Loving Search of Lost Servant was like that, because we did the search for Sri Krishna. We thought, we've got to do something better. We've got to go deeper. And we put out Sri Guru and His Grace. And then we thought, we've got to top that. We've got to do something better. And we did Loving Search for the Lost Servant. no, Golden Volcano, then The Loving Search for the Lost Servant. We got to top that. And we did Subjective Evolution of Consciousness. So we're like that. We have this sort of competitive nature. And so if he says, you can't come to Thailand, you know, rock, buk, 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 chicken man. Then I'm like, oh yeah, yes I can, I'm coming. And so I don't know. If that's not an example of Krishna looking for me, I mean, 20 years, what are the odds, you know? How old are you?
20 little years.
You're 20. Okay, so just imagine, you know, you're working hard for the Krishna consciousness movement, you love it and everything's going good, and you're renounced. But say 5 years from now, 10 years from now, 15 years from now, it gets a little hard, something happens, you get angry. I was reading about, it's a book that Govinda Maharaj put out called Golden Reflections. He's talking about the history of the Chaitanya Saraswat Math. He said he had a personal relationship with every tree, every bush, every animal, every cow, every buffalo on the mat, every bird, all the monkeys. He had a personal relationship. Sridhar Maharaj often said he had a particular sort of acidity with animals. He described of how he could domesticate a buffalo. And the buffalo was a big, strong, dangerous buffalo. And he showed, Sridhar Maharaj said, don't go near him. And Govinda Maharaj said, no, watch. And he would kick the buffalo, and the buffalo would make like he was going to knock him over, and then sort of touch him affectionately. And then he did it again. And Sridhar Maharaj said, oh, okay. So Govinda Maharaj said he had a personal relationship with everything there in the mat, but one day he got angry and he wanted to leave the mat. He was like, I'm through. But he couldn't leave the mat without asking permission from the trees and the living entities in the mat. And as he did that, he realized he couldn't leave. So Govinda Maharaj has a much higher transcendental perspective than we do. But what happens if one day, you know, you become angry, disorganized, unable to carry on 10 years from now, 15 years from now, 20 years from now, and, you know, the connection is lost. And I don't mean you personally, Gopi Kishore, you know, but...
You mean everyone in this room?
Everyone in this room. Yeah, one, you know.
Each one.
And you think that's it. It's all gone. It's not there anymore. I can't go back. I burned my bridges. They hate me. They think I'm a demon. They're sure that I'm a demon born in hell that came to destroy the Krishna consciousness movement with every poisonous word that comes from my tongue. And then suddenly, out of the sky, out of the blue, out of the cyberspace of the internet, an innocent little message. And whew, you're plucked out of the darkness into the light. Look at this light here, metaphorically speaking. But, you know, this is the light of all of you, the shining, smiling faces of the happy devotees who are filled with Krishna. And they look at me and say, Maharaj, what happened? You know?
Most terrifying.
So, you know, I'm here to try to help you and try to serve and see what role I can play in the future. It's nice that you call me Maharaj. I like that. It's an ego trip, definitely. But it's kind of like, you know, if you're in the army and you're a private and then you're a sergeant and then you're a lieutenant and then you make colonel or something, even after you retire and you're no longer in the army, people still call you colonel. You know, you're not on active duty anymore. So when you respect somebody who's achieved a certain closeness to the higher level, that respect given helps me. It inspires me, it encourages me to think, yeah, you know, I'm supposed to be a Maharaj, what happened? You know, and it ennobles you because you're taking the high the high road, you know. So anyways, thank you all very much for giving me the opportunity to speak. I'm shocked that you want to make this broadcast with me, but as I said, Goswami is very intelligent.
And I think we'll have an extra one tomorrow to get some scope.
Well, I'm at your service. I'm at your orders to do what you like, but I really would like, if there's any question from anybody, I would really like to entertain that.
Maybe someone, yeah, from
yes.
the room?
Yes.
Come. What?
Yes, Rajeshwari.
Yeah. It's not exactly a question. Is this because today is a very special day? Because it's the day that Mahaprabhu leaves his house to take sannyas, and I got a little touched in the morning, missing the deity we have in Brazil, and I cooked something, thinking about this day. But I really want to know about you, your feelings about this special day, and what this sannyasi of Mahaprabhu means for all of us.
I'm not sure I understand her completely. She wants to know about how I
feel
about
Mahaprabhu taking
sannyas.
Yes.
This is the day that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu took sannyas. Well,
he left home. He left, leaving tonight, leaving, crossing the Ganga, one day past, then the next day. This is sannyas day. So today.
Well, when Chaitanya Mahaprabhu took sannyas, everybody cried. His mother cried, his wife cried, everybody was unhappy. It was a terrible day in Navadvip when Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, when Nimai Pandit left, he left Navadvip, didn't he? Yeah. When Nimai Pandit left Navadvip to take sannyas, everybody was in tears. They were all shocked. They were horrified. Of course, that was his way of showing the world and history that his path was a serious path, that he was going to leave behind any kind of material relationship to demonstrate the higher relationship, to show that the erotic principle of Radha and Krishna has nothing to do with the mundane erotic principle of this world. And how do I feel about that? Personally, I feel terrible. I feel really sad that Mahaprabhu had to do that. I feel sad that Nimai Pandit, who showed such academic promise, left the Sanskrit school, left his defeating of scholars, and all the happy times that he had chanting Hare Krishna with his friends, to do such a terrible thing as take sannyas. Taking sannyas is a very difficult path. My taking sannyas followed my being a brahmachari. I was a brahmachari for 5 years and a sannyasi for 10. I couldn't maintain it given, I don't know, my circumstances, but I don't really want to dwell on that and try to justify myself, you know? I did what I did, I'm here now with you. But how do I feel about Nimai Pandit? God, it was a tragedy. All devotees feel like that. No devotee is happy to know that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu took sannyas. We like to see him there with, was it Vishnu Priya? Yeah, or Janavi Devi. He had two wives, you know, but one of them died. Anyway, I'm not the expert right now on all the history of the Shastras, but how do I feel about that? Terrible. Yeah? What else? Quemas, as we say in Mexico. Every time, if you go to buy something in the store in Mexico, if you ask for something, they say, ¿Qué más? It means, what else? So, we have about 7 minutes left. Let's try to get in. Somebody else must have some curiosity.
Another shot from the audience?
Yeah? When are, I know what the question is on everybody's mind. When are you leaving? I'm working, I'm negotiating that with Amya Sindhu, actually.
It's negotiated already.
Well, we give a big shout out to Amya Sindhu for travel arrangements, Induleka for directing the TV program and the films, Radha Kanta behind the board, Ananga Mohini for logistics, Bhakti Lalita for inspiration, the Mridanga man for the Mridanga. What's your name?
Anantadev.
Anantadev for his inspiring performance in the Harinam Kirtan in the streets of Chiang Mai, and everyone else.
Well, I want to know when you're coming back.
When am I coming back? I already came back. When am I coming back? Good question. Very good question. I don't know.
It's like in Sannyasa Lila, you
if everyone wants, if everyone wants me to come back, it will happen. If Mahaprabhu, when I say everyone, I mean him, you know? I mean Krishna, Mahaprabhu, if they're thinking, maybe we can use this man a little bit more, you know? He's not completely finished. Yeah, any more questions? No? Okay.
No. Let's check live stream.
Live stream, is there anybody out there? I hope there is.
At least 7 people watching us.
Yeah?
Give me a second.
But did you overcome this anger that took you out of the Krishna consciousness for some reason? For many years?
What does she say?
I don't know.
Did you overcome this anger?
Yes. Like that took you out of the Krishna consciousness movement. And how did you do this?
I don't want to get into the causes of my own personal, you know, preoccupations, because, you know, if something happens, you don't like to just go over it again and again. It makes things worse, right? But I can tell you from my personal experience that pardoning somebody or saying, I forgive you, or coming to terms with your personal anger, it's one of the most liberating experiences you can possibly have. So, you know, even in the Bible it says, vengeance is mine, saith the Lord, judge not, lest ye be judged. So while we're busy judging other people and working up our anger and then feeding off it, we're slowly going to hell. It's better if you can try to forgive people. So if there's anybody in your life that you're angry with, you know, think about the fact that the soul is eternal. And anger is, you know, kama esha, krodha esha, raja guna samudbhavaha. Anger anchors us to the material world. Now, as a preacher, you can be angry with, I don't know, the opposition. But even at that, you know, if you read The Loving Search for the Lost Servant or these books, Sridhar Maharaj's position is always, boy, we'd really like to help you. You know, we'd really like to help you out. You're not getting it. Okay, you're not getting it now, but maybe later in the future there's a chance for you too. Instead of thinking, you're sinful, you're going to die and go to hell. You know? So, Guru Maharaj occupied the Aparad Bhanjana in Kolar Ganj for a reason. The Kolar Dangamat is there for a reason. We're all so sinful to begin with, if you really want to get into sin, that becoming angry with others is a real waste of our time. So, yeah, whoever's out there that I offended, please forgive me. And if I've offended any of you, try to take the long view and think, well, Mahayogi's an illusion now, but he'll come to it later on. He'll come around. And so You know, Trinada Pisu Nichena Torora Pisa Hishnuna Amanina Manadana Kirtaniya Sara Hari. If you want to always chant Hare Krishna, you have to be humbler than a blade of grass. That's Chaitanya Mahaprabhu puts that in the Shikshastakam for a good reason. And that is, if you're proud, it's hard to do that. If you can't tolerate what other people say or do, it's hard to get along in spiritual life. So learn to tolerate, learn to get along with others, and surrender. Guru Maharaj used to say, horrible and horrible. The prospect of surrender is such. Horrible and horrible. The prospect of surrender is such. So if you enjoyed our broadcast, stay tuned for the next version of Loving Search for the Lost Servant. Pick up the book if you get a chance. You know, find it online. Check out our broadcast at Theistic
Media Studio.
Theistic Media Studios.
TMS.
TMS.
And getting back to our broadcasts, our viewer Kamala came up with another important question.
Okay.
Connected with the surrender and the Guru Maharaj. She's asking, it is always a disaster when the spiritual master leaves the planet. Do you have any advice for people currently in this position?
Pray. You know, look within yourself. Try to find, you know, where that light came from. It's ruchi. Look for the ruchi. You know, try to find that. Myself, my personal way of dealing with the disappearance of Govinda Maharaj, it's called denial. I just pretend he's in India somewhere, and I'll take an airplane over there, and he'll still be there. I know that's unrealistic, but that's what works for me. Well, I lived for a few years with Prabhupada being in India and I was in Los Angeles, or Guru Maharaj was in India and I was in San Jose. So I just think, yeah, he must be there in India. He's still doing it. That helps me. But that's unrealistic. You know, you have to go through the different stages of grief. There's denial, anger, negotiation, depression, and surrender. Those are the five stages of grief, according to Elizabeth Kubler-Ross. The last and the highest is surrender. So Guru Maharaj says, horrible and horrible. The prospect of surrender is such.
Thus ending another broadcast with Bhaktivigyan Mahayogi from Theistic Media Studio, Chiang Mai, Thailand, every Monday, Wednesday, Friday.
Dhanyavads.
And tomorrow.